Seen me getting up here and forgetting to switch that on, and somebody at the back going frantic. Would you turn with me this evening to Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, and while you're turning to the place, let me thank the pastor and elders of the assembly here for giving me the privilege of proclaiming the gospel. It's good to have a gospel to proclaim. And I count it a privilege here, and I would thank the elders and deacons, elders and the pastor for the privilege of speaking. Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. They found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. They entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, and here is the theme that I want to take this evening. Listen to these mighty words. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the leaven and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them which told these things unto the sepulchres. Listen to these sad words. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. The greatest problem in the world today is not financial, nor is it the ISIS, although that is a terrible crisis, nor is it global warming, although that is debatable. The greatest problem in the world today is death. Now, there are those who try to take the sting of death out by claiming that there's nothing after death. It's all over. But this Bible makes it clear that death is only the beginning. After death, you will either live in one of two places. You will either live in heaven, or you will live forever in hell. I want to take this verse number 6. And somebody says, he is not here, but is risen. This is the foundation stone of the gospel. He is not here. He is risen. I want to take it and divide it into three parts. I want you to see he, the person whose body had occupied the tomb. Then I want to take those words, is not here. The message from the empty tomb. And then I want to take those words, he but is risen. The meaning of the empty tomb. He is not here. He is risen. What a tremendous message to proclaim tonight. Sometimes we say in the midst of life we are in death, and yet we have this assurance. He is not here. He is risen. Let's think of the man whose body had occupied the empty tomb. Who is this? Well, we already read it further down, what Christ had said to them. Verse 7, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. But I want to take the passage that was read this morning, or quoted this morning, Philippians 2. It says there, he who was in the form of God and thought it not robbery to be equal with God. There's his deity. This one that we want to bring before you this evening was the almighty, eternal Son of God. He who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. John tells us in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We are here tonight to tell you about the eternal Son of God. But listen, thought it not a robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. There's his humanity. The eternal Son of God became the Son of Man. What humility. The one who created all things became part of his own creation. What humility. But he stepped lower than that. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal, but made himself of no reputation, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The eternal Son of God has become man. He's lived a perfect life on earth. So much so that the Father opens heaven and says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And yet God allows him, God the Father allowed him, an obedience. Christ goes to the cross and hangs in agony for 6 hours. He hangs in agony and shame and then dies. And Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea lovingly take his body down off the cross and they put it in the tomb. And Rome seals the tomb. And there is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it lies there from Friday to Sunday. Friends, if I was to say nothing else, surely this fact of what God's eternal Son has done in becoming man and going to the cross and dying for your sin, where the reading Romans, for scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Have you ever considered the fact? Or will you walk away as if it means nothing? That the eternal Son of God would deign to become man and suffer such agony and shame at the hands of his Father. Because it was his Father planned it. His Father ordained it. And yet you would walk away. Does it mean nothing? All ye who pass by. Yes, he, the man whose body had occupied the empty tomb. But then it goes on. He is not here. What mighty words. I want you to think of the women that came to the tomb. We read about it in the chapter. You know, here were a group of women, and they were faithful women. There were women who loved the Lord when he was here. And John tells us that when they got up on Sunday morning, the first day of the week, it was yet dark. Here's a group of women, and they're committed. They're really committed. They'd been round the cross. They'd seen Christ die. They'd seen him taken off the cross. They'd seen him laid in the tomb. They're getting up early in the morning when it's yet dark to visit the tomb. But I want to say three things about these women. Three wrong things about these women. First, they were wrong in their persuasion or their perception. They believed that the Lord Jesus Christ was still dead. They were going to visit the dead. You know, is it not the world not like that today? Do they not believe that, oh yes, they'll say that Jesus Christ was a good man. Yes, that he died on the cross. Yes, that he was buried. But as far as they're concerned, he's still in the tomb. But my Bible says he is not here. And so they had a wrong persuasion. But they were going to a wrong place. They were going to a tomb, the place of death. I wonder, is there somebody that's listening to my voice? They're going to some old dead church. And I make no apology for saying that. I heard not so long ago of a man who claims to be a minister of the word, saying that the resurrection was a conjuring trick with bones. He denied the resurrection. He denied the deity of Christ. And he denied the virgin birth. He didn't believe this book. I think, my friend, I believe that man was still in his sin. Are you going to somewhere? I would challenge you. Those who are here are under the sound of my voice. We're living in a day when churches are trying to justify homosexuality. Yes, churches. We're living in a day when some churches are trying to justify same-sex marriage. Don't tell me that these places are alive. They're dead. And there's those under the sound of my voice, and you're going to such places. Read the book. Read the Bible. See what it says. And then judge. Yes, they had a wrong persuasion. They were going to a wrong place, the place of the dead. But they were going for a wrong purpose. They were going to wrap a dead body with more linen and put more spices on it. My friends, it doesn't matter how much you do to a dead body. It's still a dead body. Doesn't matter how many times you rob it. And surely there are those who are trying the system of works which can never save a man. Oh yes, They're like these women. They're faithful, but they're wrong. They have a wrong persuasion. They have a wrong place to go to, and they have a wrong purpose. The purpose wasn't in a body. The answer was not in a dead body, but in an empty tomb. But you know, these women, yes, they were sincere. They were faithful. But I would say they were faithless. But yet, if you're looking for Christ, you will not be satisfied with an angel. And that's what they found. That's what they got when they got to the tomb. Yes, that angel had a tremendous message, but they still went away from that tomb in despair until, when they're halfway home, the Lord himself met them. You know, friends, if you're really seeking for the Lord, if you're really seeking for Jesus, Jesus will find you. And he found these women. And what a change it made in them. I can just picture these women. And the Lord has come to them, and he showed himself to them, and they realize that it is the Lord. And what a change. They rung to the disciples that are hiding in the upper room. And I can just see them forming a choir. And I can just see them going in through those doors. And they're singing, "He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me. He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives." What a message they had for the disciples. And yet the disciples, as we have read, still did not believe them. I wonder, are you going along today? And you've never met the Savior. If you're looking for him, let him find you. Just accept him. Accept the living Savior. Yes, he, the man whose body had occupied the empty tomb, the message that came from the empty tomb, he is not here. What a message. Then he goes on to say, but he is risen. The meaning of the empty tomb. I want to suggest three things regarding that empty tomb, that risen, about the risen Lord. First of all, it means that there is pardon for sinners. The Word of God says that he was crucified for our offenses and raised again for our justification. He obeyed his Heavenly Father. And he went to the cross and he suffered an agony and died in obedience to his Father's will. He died for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The pastor is going through that verse and I'm not going to deal on it. But that's the gospel, that Christ died for you. But listen, the empty tomb tells me that God the Father was satisfied with the work of his Son. He's raised him from the dead, and he's a prince and a savior, and he's the Son of God. He's risen with power according to the resurrection from the dead. He lives. He lives that you might have eternal life. And the empty tomb is the proof that there is pardon for sinners. Secondly, I want to take you to the Emmaus Road. There's two people. Said two men. There's some people think it was a husband and wife. Others think it was Cleopas and Luke, but that's not the point. Here's two disciples, and they're walking home despondent, heavy souls. They're in the depth of despair. They have a burden. They'd known the Lord. They'd hoped that this was going to be the time when Israel would be freed from the slavery of Rome. They're going along, and their home is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. You know what it says? It says, "And then the Lord drew near." And then the Lord drew near. The Lord opened to them the scriptures. And from Genesis to Malachi, Christ showed them himself in all the scriptures. You know what it says of those two disciples? "Did not our hearts burn within us when he talked to us by the way?" And they reached their home. And here's a very interesting thing that I find. It says the Lord went to go on. The Lord went to go on. Friends, that says to me that the Lord will never force himself on you. He's waiting for you to receive him into your hearts. These two disciples, when they realized who it was, they compelled him. They insisted that he come in and sit at supper. And what a supper that was, with the Lord Jesus Christ as the host. Friend, will you ask the Lord Jesus Christ into your hearts to sup with him? But what a change it made in these two. They have just walked despondently. They have a burden in their souls. There's maybe tears in their eyes. And they've walked for 7 miles. What did they do when they discovered the Lord was risen? They ran back the whole way to Jerusalem to tell the disciples. I can see and hear them singing. "He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today." What a message they had for the disciples. But the disciples, they laughed. They mocked. They didn't believe that he had risen. The Lord had told these were here were disciples who had been with the Lord for 3.5 years. And yet they did not believe the words of Christ when he told them that he was going to go to the cross and on the third day rise again. But I wonder, is there someone in this meeting today or tonight, and you've been told what the scriptures say week after week? We're not bringing up cunningly devised fables. We're telling you what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says that Christ died for you. And the Word of God says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found." The Word of God says that his body lay in that tomb for you. Are you going to pass by? Are you going to walk by? Are you going to be like these disciples? You're not going to believe. Ah, but not only do we see the pardon for sinners and the peace of those two disciples' souls, but we see power for service. The Lord himself came into the room where the disciples were hiding. They were hiding for fear of the Jews. Men who had faced the rough sea of Galilee, They've gone through many a storm, but they're hiding in terror from the authorities. But then Jesus Christ comes into their presence. And he says, look at my hands. Look at my side. I'm not a spirit. I'm a living being. I have flesh and bones. And he appears to them. And what happens? Those disciples from that moment on, they had a song in their heart. What was it? I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is near me, whatever men may say. They had seen the risen Lord. And this is one of the proofs that Christ is alive. It gave the disciples power to go out and preach the gospel. And many of them, I think, in fact, most of them but one, died martyrs' deaths, one way or another. Peter was crucified with, like, his Lord, and tradition says that he was so ashamed of what he had done before. He didn't want to be crucified the same way as his Lord was crucified upside down. Now, that's tradition. But here were men petrified of what man could do to them. But the living Lord appeared to them. And what a difference it made. Do you want a difference in your life? Do you want your life to be different? Ask Jesus into your hearts. Ask him into your life. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for you. Believe that he rose again. Believe that he's coming again. For he is. I want to finish with the words, those great words of the Apostle Paul. I said at the start about the sting of death. There is a sting. We have experienced it in this assembly over this last month. A brother who used to sit down at the back died of cancer. And then we had Stephen, our organist, then so tragically. But listen, I realize that there's families mourning. But the Bible says we mourn not as others who have no hope. And listen to what the Apostle Paul shouted from the rooftop. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is not here. He is risen. And could I quote the verse before as I close? Why seek ye the living among the dead? He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. May God bless you.